Recording in progress, sharing a screens. And of course, there it is, the QuickTime player. And we make the noise.
Bring me everyone.
What do you mean everyone?
Everyone!
Welcome to Everyone Racers.
It's a show designed for the world of low-dollar racing and oddball car culture.
It doesn't matter what kind of limachamp
or lucky track dog league you run.
SCCA or NASA, we won't discriminate.
As long as you drive it hard and built it yourself.
Join us each week for tech discussions,
tips, tricks, as well as news and notes from the world of amateur endurance racing.
And whether it's on the spot,
hella sweet,
or we're lucky enough,
Chrissy,
I give you just the tip,
we're sure you'll giggle a little
and learn even less.
Everyone report to the paddock.
This is Chris.
This is Chrissy.
And I'm Mental.
And we're Everyone Racers. Welcome to a special edition Mark 5 G, WVW GTI 4.
Mark 4.
It's not IV. A 4. It's a Mark 4. It's a Mark 4.
I feel
yeah,
like
I guess it was in 2002.
We're correcting Chrissy on Volkswagens.
Oh, wrong. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. It says 4 right here. I was just thinking about picturing them. Anyway, GTI edition of the show. It's episode 337. Volkswagen produced a small batch of the 25th anniversary GTIs called the GTI 337 edition in the United States. The 337 nomenclature comes from the early 70s Golf and GTI codename. Power comes from the courtesy of the VW 1.8 liter 180 horsepower turbo four-cylinder, which is mated to a six-speed manual gearbox. The 337 sports numerous performance upgrades, includes unique red brake calipers, a front chin spoiler, body-colored side skirts, a rear spoiler, a huge 18-inch BBS alloy wheel shod with meaty 225/40R18 Michelin tires, inside metal pedals, Recaro sport seats, and a three-spoke leather wrapped steering wheel with red stitching around the package. The GTI 337 is available only in silver at $22,000 in 2002, which is $38,000 in 2024 dollars. And
which is a little depressing that is $28,000.
Well, you shouldn't have spent that. Because it was still Mark IV. So yes, I probably still had the check engine lights on. Maybe not nearly as much as mine did, but, you know, probably did, because Mark IVs usually ran that way. Anyway.
1.8T was not known for its lack of check engine lights in that era.
Yes. Yes. I think
the
most
check engine light had a check engine light.
It might have. And mine might have, because it was on the whole time. So I'm not sure which check engine light it actually had on.
If you haven't checked your engine, lady, how can you be sure it's really there?
I did check it often because I put coolant in it every, you know, couple hundred miles. So if not more than that. So I was opening the hood fairly often. Anyway, that's enough about VWs. What you working on? I know what Chris is working on too. So I'm going to ask Mental, what are you working on?
So I bought the that new Lincoln that I have last year at SEMA. I got one of their floor demo models, and I've been
a welder on Lincoln, not a.
I was
car,
like, I'm
car.
Sorry.
Just,
what
yes.
kind
Let's
of
clarify.
And I,
oh, I
just finally
got that Lincoln. It's now in my yard, and now I have to work. Okay. Anyway, go ahead. That you
so
bought
I,
at SEMA. Who buys a Lincoln at SEMA?
I mean,
okay,
this story
anyway.
Could have gone an entirely different way.
And you know what? You
it's
guys
so
weren't the
early.
Only people thinking that. They were people going, I thought Mental was getting rid of dumb projects.
Yeah.
But this Lincoln bought at SEMA. I don't know how dumb it would be. Well, it's going to be partially dumb, but. Yeah,
I was like, the shaft. Floor model. Like, it's not like the Philly Auto Show. So, like, what? Okay. Go ahead. Now that we've ruined your story, please tell us what you are working on.
So I was working on, I've gotten some scrap metal and I'm working on a project for some furniture for the garage. And the darn thing just, it's gotten to where it won't feed. Coming off the machine, it just kinks the wire right there. And I have tried all the tips. I have tried all the welding wire sizes. I've tried everything. I even swapped out the liner on the gun and it is still doing it. I am trying desperately not to get so angry that I hurl my new non-functional welder through a window. So that has been my weekend of we will be talking about the Champ Car race at Daytona. One of my friends that I've run Champ Car with Daytona is in town. So we went out and had dinner and a couple things last night. He stopped by my offices today. So Dustin, Fat Crack Racing, great team out there. He's going to be running the van with Zach at CMP. And then I have been trying to work out the travel plans. Astute listeners will remember last week when Chris said, you know, if you're flying to Columbus, you might as well just stay there the week and drive over to Pittsburgh because we're going to go to Pittsburgh in 2 weeks. And so looking at various airports in that vicinity and then trying to figure out which one would be cheaper to rent and or Turo and travel back to get me back to Las Vegas on the 15th of April. And as it turns out, it's actually Philadelphia. So I will be leaving tomorrow, landing in Philadelphia just before midnight, renting an F-150 and driving to Columbus.
Oh, an F-150. Why?
Because it was cheap.
Oh my.
It was
okay.
It was like $20 more than a Chevy Spark.
Wow.
So if you're arriving tomorrow, Wednesday night at midnight, would you like to stay here? It is on your way to Columbus, basically.
Yes, but by the time I got to you guys' house, it'd be 1 a.m. I'm just going to...
Fine, and open the door and don't let the cats out.
I appreciate it. I'm going to point it westward. And if I, you know, get too tired, I'll just do the cat nap in the F-150, which you can't do in a Chevy Spark. Or as Turo tried to charge me almost $1,000, a 2002 Mitsubishi Galant.
I think you should have bought the car.
As we were discussing before the show, you could buy a Mitsubishi Galant for $1,000. Much less a Turo.
I think that would have been funnier and more of a story. That's true. Not on the East Coast. You can't.
What car can you buy from someone outside Philadelphia Airport at midnight on a Wednesday?
Oh, what should you buy? What, you know, wasn't this last week's car? Our show. Hey. I could have found you some
for a sketchy car that I could have bought outside of the Philadelphia Airport that would get me to Columbus, Ohio.
Craigslist
and
had plenty of
a
well. No, that's not part of the game. We can find you a sketchy car. Now, is it going to make it there and back? Not sure, but
will it not be on fire?
Makes for a good story. We like good stories around here.
Yeah, I can only imagine the rust.
Anything that you can afford. Yes, that's correct.
So I'll be driving to Columbus. More on why I'm going to Columbus in just a few minutes. And then Monday noonish, I will be showing up as the proverbial annoying house guest at the CNC Mayhem Factory, where we will immediately begin work on an idea that Chris came up with and I think is a fantastic theme for Pit Race. And I am so geeked.
And you can start it when you get here at noon because we're still going to be at work. So have a good time.
Well, I have a truck so I can pick up the materials on my way in.
Perfect.
Okay.
All right.
Exciting.
Yeah. And if we get that done in time, I feel like I might be able to help you out with the first thing that you've been working on. If it's not involved anything precise, if it just involves like
we won't have
cleaning,
any time for that.
Cleaning or sanding.
No time.
None time.
Yeah, for that.
Ain't nobody got no time for that.
No. I've been working on the MG, doing some wiring repairs and
fiddly work, as you say.
There's so much little fiddly work. Everything is custom and takes so long. Like the Lucas switches for where the wires go in. There's little screws in the back of the switches. Okay. They're Whitworth, of course, because 1960 British car. So, and some of them are missing. So I can't actually hook things up. So I have to find a British specialty hardware place to sell me some screws. The only ones that I can find are the right size approximately have these big cap heads on them. So then I have to cut them short by hand and file them down and then grind down the heads so the heads don't touch when they're both in the screws. This is the kind of fiddly work that is involved.
Which feels like how they made them in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much. But I also got things like, you know, fixing things that prior owners did, some of which is me, like routing wiring harnesses like actually into clips instead of just out, just floating around. painting little bits and pieces, like cleaning and painting them up, so they're not just rusty when everything else looks good. I put door seals on. I put a trunk seal in. Things like that are coming along. There's just so much little stupid work. And like I could have had the entire front suspension easily rebuilt in the time I've spent doing all this little fiddly work on things. But nope.
Now you say that, but wouldn't the front suspension also be full of hard to find fiddly bits that only known supplier is a guy that owns a farm in Vermont?
Not as many, because it's like it's just an upper and lower unequal control arm setup with a sway bar, and it's got kingpins. Okay, kingpins are weird, but if you know how to deal with kingpins, it's not that bad. But yeah, whatever. Anyway, working on it and did some cooking.
Yay.
While Chris was doing all of this, I spent the day in the garden. I managed to trim all of our front bushes. I got my side garden ready to go, did some stuff in the back, just a lot of work that I hadn't done in a little while. I don't think I did much last year. It all comes down to it's probably not the right. So if there's a gardener out there, they're probably yelling at me, now's not the time to be doing pruning. But it is now when I see the parts before all the plants grow in. So yeah. So I just needed to prune my stuff. So, and then we had Easter dinner here, which was great, and had the whole fam over. It was a big party, and I had a whole day of making chocolates, and yeah. Now I'm doing extracurriculars. I've not only done stuff with the library, I have entered the world of Girl Scouts temporarily. So I have a project that I'm helping with them with, and that is a time-sensitive project. So just, you know, if it's not one thing, it's another. All's well. Never a dull moment around here. And I feel like if you're watching, somebody behind your screen. I was going to say, so if you see me, if you're watching us on YouTube, you just saw me screaming at the wall because somebody was in the sink and Chris is holding Checo. So kitten life, they're driving us a little crazy at the moment. So if you see me on mute yelling at the, I'm not just yelling at the plant that's over there. I'm yelling at
that's
a cat to get off.
My job to yell at nothing.
Right. I yell at something that just looks at you and says, what?
I'm a cat.
What? What are you yelling at me before? I belong up here. Anyway, Hyundai is still one of the last holdout OEM making fun sporty cars, particularly their N line. Matthew Guy at The Truth About Cars has the details of their latest venture, the Ioniq 5N EN1 Cup Car and its corresponding single make race series. Using the power electronic system as the production EV iconic, the EN1 weighs a mere 4,334 pounds, which is nearly 500 pounds less than a pedestrian version of the Ioniq 5N. Both the N and the race make up 641 horsepower. It comes with all of the aero mods, required safety equipment, and the active sound and N e-shift to provide an sensation. An oral sensation that will make your car easier to wheel.
All right, for the record, I spelled it correctly.
I didn't know what I didn't say it right. It's my fault. But mine's funnier. The new EN1 glasses to be introduced this year will operate under open regulations so that terms can compete with various tire products without being restricted to a single manufacturer. Link in our show notes. It probably says Aural, not
Aural. The opening quote from Brandon McClear at Hagerty tells the story. Quote, on Friday nights, families all across Canada and the U.S. gathered in front of the television set to see what scrapes everyone's favorite gadget-building action star was going to get into this week. MacGyver! He was of the feathered mullet, selection of vest, and ever-present Swiss Army knife. Now, MacGyver was portrayed by Richard Dean Anderson, and Richard Dean was also a racer under the very slight alias of Rick Anderson. He was wheeling a third-gen Camaro, competed in the Players Limited GM Motorsports Series, which featured Camaros and Firebirds throwing down in race fields up or as big as 70 cars. The F-bodies were road legal, road registered, factory supported machines with standard race upgrades for track use. It even worked its way into one of the episodes of MacGyver, Collision Course, which aired in December of 1998 and featured our intrepid hero stepping into a Firebird after some nasty bad guys sabotaged an old friend who was supposed to drive. Link to the article in our show notes. And yes, a link to the episode of MacGyver is also on our show notes.
I can't hear this without thinking about the meme thing out there showing old fat MacGyver with his broken Audi and saying, like, if MacGyver can't fix his Audi, he's old and fat. Doesn't that make you feel old?
Yes. The article talked about during one of his post-race interviews, he said he was having some trouble with the cars. He's like, and he even said, I wonder if MacGyver could have fixed this one. So he's got a sense of humor about it.
Good. Well, our readers are a lot of things you can say about our readers, but
our listeners even.
Yeah, they're generally an internet savvy group of folks. You may have caught Volkswagen's latest terrible online joke for April Fool's Day, but if you didn't, Matt Hardigree at The Autopian can sum it up in their latest poorly attempted execute at being funny. Right. In 21, they spent weeks telling everyone how they would modify their name to Volkswagen in honor of their upcoming EV lineup. This latest isn't that far off. They began hinting at another iteration of their Harlequin cars, implementing that there would actually be an electroluminescent multicolor VW ID4. That actually could be cool. But when they revealed the punchline on Monday, it landed like a lead balloon. The British car site Car Throttle initially fell for it. In VW's defense, the press release did specifically say, quote, the limited edition ID3 Harlequin is available from 1 April. Designs can be viewed in Volkswagen's online configurator using the code just JEST1. Yep. Link in the show notes. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
April Fools for corporations. It's like one giant open mic night. And everyone's stepping up and trying to do it, even though they don't have any business doing it.
Yeah.
Especially Volkswagen. Germans don't do funny. Everyone knows that.
Yeah. No. And some of it, like, you never know the time of the market that you're like, sometimes it may. Chris, are you okay?
He's looking at a cat that is chewing through wires, my guess.
Okay. Do you want me to continue? Oh, they just stole something. I saw her run away with it. Yeah, it's trash. I know. I saw her run away with it.
Our new bingo card definitely has to have CNC's cats disrupt the show. Dogs barking.
I think you could have multiple options, opportunities for that at the current stage of our household. Yes. Anyway,
you know what's better than chasing your cats around to get trash away from them is going racing with racing junk. Here is a 96 Firebird. It's only $6,500, but it's got the 3.8 liter V6, which is actually the better motor and more reliable, and you'll have a better time with it.
Endurance racing, 100%. Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, and it'll put you nicely in Class B, which, you know, for the most part, unless you're incredibly hopeless, but probably B. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it comes with a lot of spares, an adjustable seat. It's got Trans Am brakes and radiator and two sets of Corvette wheels and tires. Adjustable panhard bar, 17-gallon fuel cell, new posi diff, radio wiring, fire suppression system, three Hunsickers even, another engine, another transmission, sets brakes, of brakes, radiators, totes of spares.
What?
I mean, this is ready to go.
Wow.
Hey, rent a trailer. Be ready to rock this one at Gingerman this summer. This is only $6,500. Where is it, Metzl?
It is in Michigan. That's why I threw it up there. It's in Southfield, Michigan.
And these people, they did it right. Metzl, tell them how they did it so well.
Because they went and got the real pro membership, which is why there are so many great pictures on this ad. And honestly, for $6,500, you are getting a lot of car. That is impressive. So that would be a very fun car. And there's room to grow. If you want to be dumb enough to go LS and spend your Saturday night swapping an LS like we always do with Sorry for Party, you're fantastic.
Or so, just stick with that V6. And
And then you have another one when you blow that one up. So there's that.
Totally. Absolutely.
It's worked out well for Tally.
All right. So they got a bunch of great pricks. Bunch of great picks. That's a great ad. It's a cool car. I think it's a bargain at that price with everything that you're getting. And with all the hella sweet money you're saving getting your Racing Junk Pro membership using code POD23, you are good to go on that one. So somebody go buy that car. It's awesome.
Okay. Upcoming races.
Champ Car this weekend. They are at Daytona for the 14 hour. We pick on Champ Car because, well, we like to pick on Champ Car. It's fun.
Correct.
If you were considering going to another series, this the Daytona race is the one because it is the exact same road course they run for the 24, the Rolex. It is awesome. You will drive at Daytona under the lights. They have 121 cars because everyone wants to go to that one.
What?
Only 31 of those are BMWs.
Boring.
That's a ratio. It's not tragic. Okay.
Yeah, it's 20%. 29 of them are Miatas, which... Okay. Will be not as much fun under the lights in the banking coming out of turn two.
So half the field is a BMW or a Miata.
Yeah, pretty much.
Four Hondas, including my buddy Dustin with Fat Crack Racing. They have got the Accord down there, and they are going down there and looking to throw down. They're going to do really, really well if that thing holds together. 8 Porsches, a Crown Vic, which will be awesome on that banking. Dodge Dakota, Ford Contour. Altima, that Altima is sinisterly fast.
Oh, okay. Well, I just looked at the list. So,
oh yeah, and no, it Nissan should buy that Altima and figure out how to make their Altimas less tragic because that thing is quick. A J30, another LTD. I believe that's the one we've seen at CMP, the aircraft carrier. 2000 Golf, which, as previously mentioned, will have a check engine light on.
It has to because I don't think unless they unplugged it, which is possible as well. So AER is at Pit Race this weekend, which there is an 80% chance of snow on Friday. Except for that. Well, I guess Mental will already be over the line by then, but you probably should check the weather when you're driving that way.
Another reason I'm glad I didn't rent that Chevy Spark.
Probably. Yes. So 70% or 80% chance of snow on Friday, and then it should be dry and chilly for the rest of the weekend. 35 cars, 24 of them are BMWs.
That's
so boring.
3 Miatas, 4 Hondas, 3 Porsches, 2 Integras, and that's it. That's all of the cars. I looked, I went through and I was like, so after I finished with Porsches, I was like, all right, what else is there? Oh, just those Integras. So
there's almost as much chance of a car being a BMW as of snow.
Yeah. Yeah, I was deeply impressed by these.
I'm impressed that the entirety of their entry list is our cars that we always highlight.
Pretty much. Yes.
Yeah.
Sometimes we load the Integras into the Hondas, but I just added them onto the end because I was like, well, what else am I going to go through here? What else is interesting? Oh, wait, there are only 2 cars left. And if that math is right, it's very possible that might be me. But pretty much there was nothing else. So, yeah. It's so boring. And 35 cars at Pitt, you're going to be like, when you go, you know, down the hill, you're like, oh, good. I can see somebody like over there. That's great.
That's not even enough cars to have the snow tracks to follow when you're, you know, driving, you know, behind them on the track.
Yeah, no, it's going to be exciting for them.
I think it's going to be more like a 5-year-old soccer game. As you put the 5-year-olds in the soccer game, and there's just like this group of the kids running around the ball, kicking each other in the shins. I think that's what this is going to be like, is that you're going to get that group of the cars in the fast and they're all going to be racing each other. And then
nothing. Then if you're that guy, it's the worst.
And then like
you did that once and I was together, like, this is so dumb. Yeah. So dumb.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a shame.
I've had good times at AR races, but I don't think. Yeah.
35 cars in the snow.
I think that's the part that's not going to be fun. It's just that it's like, do you are track day or
60 cars? Fun time. That's
wonderful. Fun time. And then, and we know that it is 40% cold, but there is no way it's 80% party.
No,
it's like 10%
party.
No,
they're saving all the party for the next.
There's some
weekend.
People there that are good at sucking all of the air out of a room. Anyway.
Oh, but, well, we're talking about upcoming races and we missed a couple of recent results. Chrissy?
Yes, we did. Oh, what? It's not my turn.
I just want you
but
to yell.
Usually you oh, say the...
I was like, what?
Yeah. Lemons is at NOLA. Winner on IOE was Schadenfreude Racing. Oh, and this is a great car. This is it's a E21 BMW that has a Mercedes diesel and a Nissan transmission and a Ford rear end and various Volvo parts. And those guys are really nice too. So I'm glad they picked that up.
I met them years ago when they were just running that E24 and it blew up and they were just mad at it and they were tired of it blowing up. And they said, yeah, we're thinking about throwing a Mercedes diesel in there. And I'm like, oh, totally do that. Cause you will be C-class forever. And they did and have been. I have the gauge cluster. They gave it to me as a bribe the next year for the original gauge cluster for that car. And you're right. They could not be nicer despite clearly making horrible decisions. That's a great car.
Nice people. That's great. HMG Spin It to Win It in their MR2. That's another nice group of people right there. That's great. Horrific Fix Bad Backs in a Jaguar XJS. And I think nothing else needs to be said about that. But... That's good. I Got Screwed Death Wheel Motorsports in a Mazda B2000. Judge's Choice Low Speed High Drag in a Ford Focus.
That's the group of cancer survivors. That's a great team.
Great. Org Choice Scuderia Rugaro in a Mazda Miata. Got smoked by a stock Chevy Volt that had to go to the Walmart to charge. Went to the Stealth Bummer in an RX-8 EV. Class C, Team Swifty in a Datsun 280ZX. Class B, Projectile Dysfunction Racing in a Mazda MX-3, which is one of like five left in the world. And overall, Class A, not done yet in a boring BMW.
All right. Lemons Rally also happened. We mentioned that from the 2024 Route 66. It's Crap from LA, where they drove from LA to Oklahoma. First on points was the Micro Machine Suzuki Alto Works. That was great. They had the little tiny thing with the tentacle porn on it. Second on points, Team XC90 Kids in a Ford Mustang convertible, and it says non-licensed, generic injection molded doll, and possibly firm version edition.
Film version? Okay.
Oh, all right. Yeah, film version. Because I did notice in all of their pictures there, Barbie would not bend her knees. All of her leg movements were stiff-legged. They've done a bunch of rallies, and it's a brother and sister, and then they'll bring one of their friends or one of their significant others. They are always fun. Third on points was Once Fast, Once Furious, and the Crown Victoria. Your random acts of stupidity was Viva La Volva and a Subaru Brat / Ford Crown Hick / mouth tattoo.
Oh, that's a lot.
I saw the Brat. I didn't see anything else. Judge's Choice, big surprise, Gentleman Dave. Sonny the Suburban, Alien Recovery Vehicle, Chevy Suburban. I don't think he made it to any hotels. He got stuck, spent all night digging himself out, had no
I mean, but
drive.
That was, I'm pretty sure that was his fault alone. So
oh,
100%
his fault, which he readily admits.
Like high-centered, and he's just like, now I'm stuck.
And couldn't tell anybody where he was, and he only had like a few bars on his phone.
I'm pretty sure he slept in his car the whole time.
Well, it's a Suburban, so you can.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think it was also, as you can imagine, the Suburban was full of his stuff, well organized and cleaned every night.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, and?
No, that's not
how
that
went. You can spread the stuff around as a nice pile and make a nest.
I'm pretty sure that happened. You missed the pictures on Facebook, but I'm pretty sure that's how it went down.
I can imagine.
Mm-hmm. Folks, you should check out Caddy Wrecker on IG. Oh, he's even when he's not rallying, he's always fun. And he's also like done all of the rallies and always has something. And Organizer's Choice was Hangar 13 Racing. That's Tom and Jam. And they brought their kids.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Yeah, on that Chevy Celebrity
Wagon.
That's
great.
Which is now for sale. And
not surprised.
It is, aside from the clear coat, it is mint. And
is it a Eurosport?
No, it's just metallic blue with the hubcaps, but yeah. It's got the velour bench interior, and they, like, you know, Tom, Jan, their kids, they were all dressed up in 80s. Their youngest was rocking a No Kidding cassette Walkman. They leaned into it. It was fantastic.
That's great. They're great people too.
Yeah, they
are. And if you're looking for just a sweet celebrity wagon, that, knowing Tom and Jan, is probably mechanically flawless, go to Tom's Facebook page. I think he posted it in a couple of the other forums, or get a hold of us. We'll point you at Tom, because that thing's awesome.
That's great that they won. I didn't realize missed that one. Yeah. All right. We're at all the listener feedback time. On the YouTubes, responding to our shopping episode, Tim B said, if you're going to rally the century, you have to move all car controls to the rear seat and put a chauffeur mannequin in the front seat. Mirror tint the rear windows. Step out of the back door in style.
Yes.
It's probably fine, said that dirt track car that, quote, promotes education, end quote. Never has there been a more ringing endorsement of the public school system.
I want to be offended, but he's right. Michael K said, so very curious, the data that my 1995 Toyota Previa is sharing with the world.
Yeah.
I'm 100% sure that if it could talk to the world around it, the van would beg for mercy to any worldwide database that would listen something, something slow car fast. I'm going to offer a counterpoint and say that any Previa in your employ is living its best life, because all the other Previas were doomed. They went to college and never came back. And at least your Previa is like, yeah, suck it, Subaru WRX. I posted a pic of me making sparks in my driveway. I was actually literally out there grinding off some of the clips on my 914. And I said, this would make an epic picture. Went and got my tripod, set up my phone. It was right at sunset. And I even titled it Shameless Posed Pic for the likes. And it worked. Tim Burr asked me if I was cut up another one for the trash bin. No, this is the Porsche that I'm actually keeping. It's got a really interesting provenance in history, but I am trying to reduce it to this minimalist style car that will have only what it needs to be a car. And so the frunk is going to go back on with hood pins. I've got rid of the, I probably threw out 20 pounds. I don't know why the hinges had to be so heavy on that car. And so I was pulling the brackets and all this stuff, and that's what I was grinding out with my die grinder.
So that's David,
so you want to put something in the trunk. Yeah. Now I need a friend.
Or take one of the other cars. How about that? David Eckel said, cover your windshield. And then there was this back and forth that I thought was hilarious. Jeremy M said, I thought the sparks were coming from the bottom when stuff falls off. And then Corey Dickman says, no, it's because the bottom is covered with oil. Then Jeremy says, oh, you're right. You got me there. I just spent the last hour the other day degreasing the bottom of my car around the rear axle area. Oil, trans fluid, and sand. Ugh.
Sand is the worst when it gets into that oil, because it just doesn't want to come out of anything.
Ew.
Yeah. Ugh.
You know who never grinds?
Go ahead. You might as well go with that. Go on with all of them. Go ahead.
You go for it, Chris.
Now, you know who never grinds off their trunk hinges?
Pretty much.
I was going to say, you never who stages a spark picture for the likes on the Insta?
Also true.
That would be Chrissy's mom. If she does listen, I will shamelessly say that I am eagerly looking forward to Pit Race, because it has been at least a month and a half since I've had any of Chrissy's mom's cookies.
You'll have some. She's ready. Okay.
Excellent. All right. Years ago, I want to say 2.5 years ago, we had Todd from WRL, World Racing League, on the show to talk about WRL, and they had some directions and things that they were changing. We don't cover WRL anymore, not because it's not cool and not because, but it is not an amateur series. It is not Champ. It is not Lemons. It is not Lucky Dog. This is, they've got major sponsors. They've got pro drivers. They've got a lot of good stuff. And if you have an opportunity to go, you should check it out. As it mentioned, I have an opportunity. So we are going to talk about the World Racing League, Mid-Ohio. We'll do a, I reached out to my friend, Jack Baruth, who literally just bought a farm that backs up to Mid-Ohio, and he has got thousands of laps there. And I said, hey, you got some turn by turn tips. And he came back and said, any knowledge that I had about that track, went away on 1 November of last year because the track underwent a complete repave.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, then. So tell us more about what your race is going to be, who you're racing with, what's the team, what's the car, what's the plans, like what's going on?
What's the haps? What's going on? So some years ago, I did the 25 Hours of Thunderhill 2019 with Mark Francis Racing and the Anderson brothers, who owned Palomar Solar, were our fueling guys. And they're both vintage cars. They've got a really nice old BMW 2002. They've got a really hella sweet. They've got a couple of really good Datsun Roadsters. But they got bit by the bug, and the next year they showed up with this. Now, this is now the backup car, the number 25. So
running, what is it?
It is a BMW spec E36. It was built to NASA ST5 specs. It's got a S52 B32 with a aftermarket tune. It's got MCS non-reservoir adjustable coilovers, the Beamer World control arms front and rear, giant calipers, Will Woods. It's running 17-inch tires. It is built to the limits of the series. It's got a giant Wang, a Big Duck E36 body kit. And then after running this one for a year, they also had their number one car. As they credit Mark Francis Racing with getting them started in this, they wanted to get the band back together. So they reached out to Carl Nelson, who owns La Jolla Independent BMW in San Diego and was running what is for a while was the fastest vintage BMW in the US, and knows him and his daughter both know just so much about BMWs, and a couple of the other drivers of Mark Francis Racing, and said, hey, if you guys want to come out to Mid-Ohio, come on out, fuel. The tires are courtesy of our sponsor, Toyo Tires. Come on out. We're going to throw you in the car and you guys just go and race. And
okay.
Well, you're
great.
You're dumb if you don't take that opportunity, right?
Yes. We talk about expectations. Go ahead. Great. What are their expectations? That's my biggest question. Your expectations, their expectations. Are they going for winning?
Right now, they are running first place. This is the national championship race for last year. And Palomar Solar is number, they are in first place by 7 points in the GP1 class. So let me double check that one. I'm sorry, by 9 points over their nearest competitor. They've had three podiums this year, first and a second. And I am more than a little intimidated. This is going to be scary as shit. It's possibly the fastest race car I've ever driven, and it's going to be it's the slowest class or one of the slowest classes on the field. So I'm going to be out there duking it out with all kinds of like serious pros and BMW built factory race cars and Cayman GTSs that are never street legal and Audi R8s and all of this. So, intimidated is probably a good word.
When you signed on, was there expectation that you are going to win? Like, are they setting like, well, we're a winning team and our goal is to win. So
no.
Mental join us because you're a winner too. I just want to make sure like how this invite sounds like, hey, come and have fun with us.
That's but exactly what it
and,
was.
Yeah. Okay, good.
And it's one of those things. So, you know, I have to go out there, not embarrass myself, not embarrass.
Don't wad up the car.
Don't wad up the car. Don't wad up anybody else's car. Don't embarrass the Anderson brothers.
Yes.
I need to move quick enough not to be, you know, God bless it. Who the hell's this idiot in that car? And at the same time, recognize that I am driving someone else's very hard-earned reputation, and they've got a reputation for being good, racers. They're for being a good team, for being the kind of folks that people want to hang out with. So I also can't be a dick. So
good plan.
I'm going to spend the whole weekend trying to learn as much as I can and just not insert foot into orifice, not step on my wiener.
Good plan.
Yep.
When's the last time you were at Mid-Ohio?
2016.
Which means you know nothing because it sounds like it's different.
I mean,
you know which direction the corners go. Kinda.
Yes, I can tell you that the course was built. Ago. Yeah, I can tell you the course was built in 1962. Originally it was 16 corners and now it's 14 corners. For those who are listening to this that are lemon-centric, what you need to know about Mid-Ohio is this was where a young Dale fell in love with the world of auto racing. He was parking cars there as a young lad, told the owner of the track he couldn't park someplace. And the owner said, I like that guy. And before he knew it, he was working control and he went to the Great Lakes or the Lake Erie Communications Flagging School. And the rest, as they say, is history.
I did not know that.
Mm.
I can see that. Dale saying, no, you can't park there.
But I don't care, buddy. You can't park there.
It's the rules. good for him. Well, let's learn more about WRL. Like we've gone look through and learned more about what their classing is, what the races and the rules and the tech, all the things that we kind of want to know.
Mm-hmm.
We thought we'd share because we started to learn about it.
Yeah, because especially since we just think it's high dollars and LMP2 cars and Porsches that are whatever, and it feels extra daunting. But so I dove into the classing section, so I'll start there. On the top of the page says, WRL's classing aims to equalize vehicle performance to let the drivers and teams do the talking. Okay, so I know I just had to add that because
corporate wanker talk,
right? It was in big letters. It took up my whole screen before it let me scroll down. Okay, we're going to start with the GP class. General production classes are governed by both their power to weight ratio as well as a modifier table that balances both the performance gains with certain components as well as taking costs into account. All GP cars must be mass produced and available for sale in North America. So
I think that's what we're going to focus on primarily because that's the kind of normal cars that people listening to the show have.
Absolutely.
Not,
right.
Not
so
the ridiculous things.
So I have, if somebody wants to, I thought it was linked in here. It's linked in there. So if somebody wants to open that, you're welcome to scroll through that GP modifier spreadsheet. It's a 4-page document. It has questions like on the first page, it says your peak dyno horsepower, ballast, fuel capacity. And then there's 3 pages of modifiers that you get points for or points against, I guess. Aero, there's a couple options for aero, a couple of options for brakes, a couple options for suspension, drivetrain, and differential. So if you have these certain things, you'll either get points that are taken away from you. I don't know which way the math goes. But basically, this is either adding or subtracting to you,
It's all power to weight based. Mm-hmm. So these things basically change it. So if your power to weight ratio was 12-1, but you have... here we go, an aftermarket sequential gearbox, that's a minus 0.6. So then you would have a power to weight ratio of 11.4 equivalent.
Thank you. This is very helpful. Yes. And this actually matters a whole lot because going into the GP cars, there's GP1, GP2, and GP3. So that's what we're going to be talking about. So GP1 cars represent fastest of the GP classes. They're governed by the power weight ratio of 10.5 to 0 to 12.799 to 1. I guess I cut that off.
All right, so the one that I'm scheduled to drive, actually they're both exactly the same. They have 196 horsepower and they have 2751 pounds.
But they have a lot of these other modifiers for the aero, the brakes, the suspension, stuff that so even though I mean their raw power to weight ratio, you said it was 197 into 2700-ish pounds, right? That's 2700.
Yeah.
Other way so is 13.7 to 1. So they have used so many modifiers
right
to get mm-hmm. from what would be a mid-pack GP2 power weight ratio to a pointy end GP1 ratio.
Okay, so GP1 examples. So on their website, they give all kinds of examples of their a 350Z, a C5 Corvette, E36, or E46 M3. Cayman were the ones that they listed, the cars that you would know what they are. Okay, that's GP1. GP2 are the great balance of speed and affordability. At their low weight means great handling. GP2 has the power to weight limit of 12.8 to 1 to 15.099 to 1. Those examples are a Mustang V6, a Boxster Lexus SC300, and an E36 is what they have listed there. And the GP3 cars are the highest end of the power scale, and they have the power to weight.
Power to weight scale, different. They're the low power end power.
Low. Yes.
Yeah.
Low end power.
These are the slowest cars.
Limit. Yes, correct. 15.1 to 1 or to 18.0 to 1. These are Miatas, Boxers, and 944s.
Yeah. The last time I raced a WRL race was at MSR Houston. And I believe it was 2015 with Rocksteady Racing and Todd Carver. He listens to the show on occasion and sends us advice. And he, it was in his Miata, and we were running that class. And actually, if I'm not mistaken, I think we podiumed in GP3. But again, this was 9 years ago, and it was a different series.
And race cars were different then, maybe. Yeah. I don't know about I don't know everybody, but. We were slower then. Anyway, okay. So is that enough on GP3 cars? GP cars? Yes.
Sure.
Okay. GT cars.
Well, of course, we'll have a link to all this in the show notes. If you're fascinated by WRL,
just go to the page because information is right from it. But I wanted to digest it and take some stuff out. So GT cars are the fastest in WRL. There is no modifier table. They have a very limited rule book, and you have to ask to be in this category. So it says if you're interested, you should just write somebody at WRL is what the actual answer is. Okay, the Grand Touring Open represents the lowest power class in WRL, which is the fastest. GTO is governed by power to weight ratio window of 18.0 to 1 to 9.0 to 1. These examples are a V8 or V6 swapped MX5, a E46 M3, a 981 987 Cayman S, 996 Porsche 911. Late model stock cars. And the Grand Touring Under, the GTU, are cars that are similar to GTO cars, but weigh less than 2,400 pounds. They are running at, they're fast. There's only three of them running this weekend the race that you're going to. They're all by the same person. They're all the same cars. They all just look different. What are they?
I should probably know this, but I've been
They're like the LMP cars, like the okay. like the funky
the Lola, whatever that's oh. the one that was that NASA had.
Mini prototypes.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah,
the ones that don't look like cars. They look
stupid fast.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. So there's only three. I already looked because we pulled up the ones for your race. And yes, they're fast. And
they come up to about the door handles on the Beamer.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Yes. So for fun, I put our Civic in through the calculations because I know all the numbers on it, where I don't know the weight or the horsepower of the Mazda. So I do know to the Civic. So Civic's peak dyno horsepower, the time I had it dynoed, was 205 at the wheels. And Ooh. Its competition weight and they define that as full fuel, no driver, no water in the cool suit box, but otherwise as raced. And it's about 2150 for the Civic. So, okay, that puts us, if we do the math at it, we are outside of the GP1 class even. If we do that, so 2150 divided by 205 is 10.487. So then we have to do some modifiers because the car has a simple rear spoiler. That's a minus 0.1. So now we're at 10.387. Oh. And it has single adjustable shocks, which is a 0.2 modifier. So now we're 0.187 again. Except it's front drive, so it gets a plus 2. So we're back to 0.387. So the Civic as it sits would be too high or too fast of a power to weight ratio to be in GP1.
And but can you put ballast in?
Yes, you can, absolutely can put ballast. So I'd have to ballast it up to get there. But I don't think the Civic is as fast as these other cars that they're saying are in GP1 by the looks of it.
And you also built the Civic to run on 200 tread wear. And all of these cars...
No, not anymore, my friend. Not anymore. As of April 1, all GP category cars must run Continental tires, which means either the Extreme Contact Force, which is a 200 tread wear, or in the rain, they run the Extreme Contact Sport 02, which is a 340 tread wear. So they all have to run 200 tread wear tires as of April 1st. So if your friends are planning on running their Toyo RRs, not so much. It's a little too late.
All right. Well, no, and they'll have the suspension settings up for those, no doubt, because they've run the car on NASA and they've done well. Oh, well, that is even more interesting. This is, myriad of reasons why I love you guys and I love doing this show. You're teaching me about the thing that I'm going to be doing this weekend. This is awesome.
Right?
Thank you.
I just did some research.
So with that, then, if you got yourself a set of those Continental Extreme Contact Forces and you threw a little ballast in there, where could you race the Civic?
Well, in general, WRL has 10 races on the calendar in 2024. Tracks are all over the country, but I noted that they have COTA and Barber, Mid-Ohio, Watkins Glen, Sebring, Road America, Road Atlanta, among some others.
That's great. Great.
They're overall February to December. They take January off, and the races are every 3 to 6 weeks, from what I could tell. Mm-hmm. Mostly every month, but occasionally they have one that goes a little longer, one a little shorter. They do limit the number of cars on track based on the length of the track. So, for example, Road America, which is enormous, can have 70 cars as a max. Mid-Ohio, which is medium size, has a max of 55. But this race that you're going to has 47 entries.
Hmm.
So schedule is fairly reasonable. Thursday is load-in and tech and registration. So they really seem to want everybody there Thursday. Friday,
I was told to be there Thursday. Yeah.
Yeah. Friday, you have to be there because there's 4 hours of testing that's included in the race fees. And I think they, depending on your experience, you may have to go do some testing. They may want to see that. But you can buy another 4 hours of HPD in the afternoon on Friday. We'll talk about that when we get to prices. Saturday is a 8-hour endurance race. It ends at 5. Sunday is a separate 7-hour endurance race. It ends at 3. They are not combined over the weekend. They are two separate races.
Mm-hmm. One thing that Jack did say that undoubtedly, no matter how many times you pave it, the end of the long straightaway, break earlier than you think you should, especially if it's going to rain, because the track falls away. It is downhill and to the right. Care to guess what the weather prediction is right now for Friday?
Rain.
Yes.
Yep.
Rain. Maybe rain that will become cold. Snow when it gets
right.
To
I was going
to
say it's probably pretty cold over there. I was actually just looking in where in the world is Mid-Ohio.
It is just outside of it's around
the middle of Ohio.
Lexington.
It's literally in the middle of Ohio. Didn't know. Like
about an hour outside of Columbus.
That's what it looks like. Northeast of Columbus.
One of the times that I was running that race, we were driving there earlier in the morning. It was actually an AR race. And I remember in the car, somebody had a press loaner and we were coming over a hill and the Volvo, early safety features did not detect the Amish buggy that was in front of me.
Cool.
So yes, I had to take some evasive maneuvers.
Yes.
And I was just praying that I didn't spook the poor guy's horse.
Because
rolling hills country and it's there's no street lights, there's nothing, it's just two lane and crested a hill, and why is there a triangle in the, oh god,
you better hope that it's not where the snow is in Pittsburgh. It might be close enough that you might still be getting some snow, because
we might get a little snow.
For those who are out there, stick around on Monday till the afternoon if you want to see the full solar eclipse, because that is a totality area actually right there where they will be.
Damn it. I already agreed to be at your house.
So?
Okay. You can stay for the eclipse.
We have all day.
Yep.
We have all day. It's fine.
So, all right. I perused the rule book a bit, and I'm going to give you kind of my quick
there.
Overview of what I saw. The rule book was 20 pages, so it's not tragic. some things to note that I saw that struck my interest. There's a Friday night driver's meeting that's mandatory. They've got rules on kind of different contact types you can have, whether it was unavoidable or incidental or avoidable, and what the penalties are for those kind of things. That's everything from a don't do that to getting kicked out. There are overtaking rules about when to give room and safe passing. Like, you know, you have a right to be there. If you get your front axle line to the center of the driver's door, then that's okay. You're there. But then they have all kinds of stuff where they're saying, like, be patient. Endurance racing is about patience. Don't, you know, as a faster car, you're the one who has to make the safe, clean pass, and don't dive bomb people right into the apex. That slows you both down. Like, they can't say all these things a lot. Yes, Chrissy.
Isn't this rule book just for legal people? I'm trying to see how
this compares to Metal's experience when he's there.
Okay, great. Yes, because
that's
they
have a whole section even on the website, driver expectations, and it basically says, be respectful, be patient.
Okay.
It basically says don't be a dick, and it's, which is nice, and no contact, but you know, who knows? I've heard those kind of rules before and seen them not enforced at all, and right. The results that happen. Anyway, there are 3-hour maximum driver stints.
How do you know? I don't know if
they didn't say, well, I think it's because each driver has an individual ID puck.
Oh, they do. I think it's like RFID things. They scan you when you get in the car. I do remember that.
Okay.
Yep.
So if you're watching on one of the race things, you'll know when I'm in the car.
All right.
Now, I looked at the pit stuff. I didn't see anything about pit times, but I may have missed it. I didn't see there any minimum times there, but they have a lot of other rules. Like up to 5 people over the wall at a time.
NASA standard.
Mm-hmm. Right. Only 1 fuel jug over the wall at a time. So you can't like have a second one staged there.
Yeah.
And it's 6-gallon maximum.
So then you know about the Hunsucker cheat.
Yep, exactly. Now, I thought this was great. People who are on the safe side of the wall, not the outside, if they're close to the edge and involved or at all close to the edge, they still have to be in fire gear. Which I think is great because I remember a couple of years ago, AER had people at Summit Point, and you've got people 4 feet away from fueling, just eating sandwich and shorts.
Yeah, right? Or handing jugs over like part of this.
Well, like, well, we're not on the side of the wall, like they're pulling that crap.
No, but you're like, but if the fire is going to just go up and over the berm there, right. So you're
the fire can't come past the wall because the rule says the fire can't come past the wall.
It's going to stop there.
Like, oh, no.
These are FIA skinny shorts, so whatever. These flip-flops are SFI. See the tag.
So I was happy to see that if you're close and part of participant, you should still be suited up because that's good safety there. There is limited work allowed on the car during actual fueling. Like of the 5 people, someone can be cleaning the windshield and torquing lug nuts and putting ice in the cool box while fueling is happening. There are tire changes in hot pits are okay, but there's rules about limited tools. Like you get 1 impact gun, it has to be a manual jack, and you can only have a maximum of 5 tires over the wall, including the 4 on the car, and no more than 2 wheels in the air at any time and things like that.
So they're trying to limit it. They're like, just don't do it. But
someone's got to police all that, which I guess when you only have, you know, 40, 50 cars, it's not as hard to police.
I think if it's anything like the previous events, you have your own assigned pit wall space.
Probably, because again, only 40, 50 cars. You're
mm-hmm. And it did look like there were marshals. So I was watching, I'll get to that later. I was watching some video from the Barber race that they already had. And it looks like they all have their pit rows. You know, they all have their little tents up. But it did look like there were plenty of people of policing. So there were, you know, marshals on the hot part of the track in the pit lane. So only so far, like I'm sure they only have, here's the 4 people you need to watch. So I'm sure if you're watching the same 4 groups of people, you probably can pick out who, who's an offender and who you yell at once or twice or multiple times.
Well, we've all donned the judge's robe and you started identifying the problem children pretty early on.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. And with only that many cars.
And
like
they're usually the ones that then argue with you about it. Yeah. All right. Penalties. They do have penalties for contact, for pass under yellow. pit speeding and missing a black flag. And I actually like their missing a black flag penalty. The number of times you go around after you've been black flagged is the number of lap penalty you get. So if you miss the black flag 10 times, you get 10 laps worth of penalty. I think that is great. Well, they're serious. Like, don't miss your black flag penalty. They don't seem to care at all about putting wheels off too far off. There's nothing no mention about it. As long as you're not cutting the course to gain an advantage, and then it's a problem. So being out of control and putting four off, cool. Cameras and radios are required in every car. After a car, after the end of the race, the podium cars have to go to impound for Parc Fermé, just to make sure they're not cheaty. Car prep, all the safety stuff. It's basically all the normal endurance race safety stuff. You know, cage, fire system, kill switch, etc. Like, there's nothing that was different or exciting. You do have to have a window net, though, which some people like, some people don't. I thought this was interesting that surge tanks for the fuel system are okay. You can have a completely stock fuel system and have a surge tank, and that's fine. I guess that lets you use all of your stock fuel capacity. But there is also other fuel max capacities related to your class and horsepower. Like, for example, doing the math in the Civic, it was 16 and a half gallons is how much I would be allowed to have for that car.
Okay. So that's not making it so that you have some kind of limitations then.
Yes. Yes. It's different. You know, just throw a 22 gallon huge tank in and go for it.
So it requires some strategy. That is interesting.
Right. I think that's basically making sure people are going to end up having to pit, because the more power you have, the more fuel you're going to use and things like that. So, overall rulebook didn't seem terribly different than what things were used to, except for that, you know, the fuel capacity stuff and the classing, but most of the rest of it seems similar.
Right. And some other stuff that you dug up here, you've got to have an annual tech form, and it feels like it says fill out a disclosure. So they're putting the onus of safety on the owners. You know, if you're doing something stupid and you get injured, you're an idiot kind of a deal. Self-gear tech, you fill out a form and get a sticker. Chrissy?
It said annual tech. Does that mean go somewhere and get the tech?
I imagine.
It's at the track, but it's only once a year. Like, you go through it at your first race, they put a sticker on the car, and that's good.
All right, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah. As Chris mentioned, starting Monday, you got to have Continental tires for the GP production classes, and you got to have the dyno resulting into competition weight. And I imagine, because you do get impounded, if you are breaking those rules, you're going to get fussed up. It is, as you may have imagined, with that many marshals and a limited field, the entry fees are a lot more than anyone probably listening to this is used to. Starts at about $2,700, and depending on what class, up to $3,400 for the weekend. Then you've got your garages, $600, $800 at Road America. If you're camping, that's another $100. And if you're getting the HPDE second half of Friday, that's an extra $500. And they also require you to have a Flagtronic system, which you are seeing more and more of. And I think that is a reflection of the lack of trained corner workers. There's just no one creating corner workers anymore. If you notice any track that we go to that has good flagging, it's an older track where they've got this kind of dedicated, like New Hampshire always has good flaggers and they always like to come out and do that sort of thing. But I've seen the Flagtronic system before. They run it at Thunderhill. It's not terrible. It requires a little bit of extrapolation. What's going on?
We tried one once as a testing day at Lemons, and I wasn't thrilled with it.
But that was like early. Like, it was still
you have to,
like,
and the operators have to know how to use it too. There has to be a Pagel-esque person in the control booth hitting the switches, and they've got to know how to do it and do it on time.
At one point I had two of them in my hand because we were testing two different cars, and they had different layouts or readouts on the screen.
And it's significant. That made it's like me yellow consider or it green.
Being unreliable. Like, right. But
anyway. That's very different. So
the last few times a Champ car runs Flagtronics, and I haven't had any issues with them. So,
but you haven't had two in your hands and realized that this one should be yellow and it's not yellow. So
I at least on the track at the Ozarks, everybody was doing what my Flagtronics was indicating was the proper thing to do.
So if everybody's looking for the yellow because it says yellow, then I guess it's consistency. So whatever.
Yeah.
All right.
And it's just another cross check. You hear the guy next to you accelerate. You look and make sure yours is actually green. Because if you've got that onboard camera, you're going to want to be able to defend that.
Yes. Yeah. We've all had at least many moments of, I think it's green. Is it green? I think it's, yeah, it's not yellow. Okay, I'm just going to keep driving fast because I'm pretty sure it's green. Yeah. Oh, no, it's now, there's the yellow.
Every driver's meeting
I'm
I've
passing
ever.
Everyone. This is amazing.
This is awesome. I'm the best racer ever.
But sometimes
home
it happens. If nobody's looking up, then
I will say this. If you're listening to this, I give this at every rookie and driver's meeting I've ever hosted in the 18-year history of Lemons. No one has ever won based on how fast they reacted to a yellow flag.
No, but
not
sometimes
one it's time, it's not once.
But it's that great opportunity to get around the person that you've been trying to for the last 10 laps.
Fair.
I know.
But you're not going to win. You're only
going to win. I just want to get around this one guy that's driving down the center of the track. Person, rather, might be
probably
lady.
A anyway, Camaro or Firebird.
It might be. Okay, anyway, let's go into drivers. No true novices allowed. Not really surprised. You probably shouldn't be a true novice getting in the car without a resume and with getting in some of these cars. Okay, so is somebody changing something here? Other real racers licenses are okay. Real racers with air
so quotes. That's like NASA, SCCA, Porsche, BMW Club.
Pardon me while I whip this out.
Right. If you have any of those actual competition licenses from any of the other series, you're fine.
Makes sense. HPD Advanced or Instructor is okay. Can submit a resume if at least 8 hours of seat time. That's a nice option. And you may need to start as provisional or probational until a incident-free race has been completed.
Yes.
Yep.
And you guys found some other cool stuff.
Yeah. So I started poking around their Facebook this evening as we were prepping for the show. And I found that they have a really well-produced live stream. So I'm interested to actually turn it on while Mental's there because they go around. And the live stream had multiple camera angles. So basically you could kind of see different parts of the track. And this one was at Barber. So I've been to Barber, so I can kind of picture what corner that is. And they have Barber, they had four different people in the commentary booth. So they were talking about all the different classes and passing, and this is how this is going. And these people are only seconds apart, and here's who's fighting for what. So it seemed pretty good. I was impressed. It was,
I'm now more intimidated that you're going to be watching the live stream because I've seen you watch the Eagles play. And from the garage while the TV is turned up. It's gonna be a fourth and two on this one, and the Eagles are gonna go for it. Oh, they're gonna go for it. I don't think they're gonna go for it. I think they're gonna screw it all up.
I don't sound like that at all. I mean, absolutely.
Chris,
I do.
Why is he silent on this matter?
People know they should not.
Let's just say that I will never sit with a cat on my lap during any football game.
Do not.
Because I know that I will be scarred if I do.
Do not. Yes. If you
cat
want
tries,
cat,
I'm like, just... no cat. Nope. You can't.
Or small children. We're not allowed to watch games together. But I'm interested to watch it. So I'm totally going to watch it just because then I'd be interested to hear what they have to say, just about the cars that you're racing. And it'll just be good.
All right. Well, I will find that link. We will throw it into our socials. I will hopefully, if I'm not completely humiliating myself and embarrassing my questionable name anyway, be posting updates from the track. And if Chrissy's watching, she'll start asking questions. Hey, tell them about this. Tell them about this. Why are you so slow? So it should
go
should
faster.
Be
well, because then I can watch it on Race Hero and on the television at the same time.
And I want to be offended, but it's not like I didn't sit in the Middle East
Correct.
And do that to you guys.
You absolutely did this. Fortunately, it was all positive at the time. Not that you're, if it's not positive, I'm not going to tell you. It'll be fine. I'm just kidding. All right, Chris, what else did you find?
That on site, they're going to have Continental Tire there. So if you only brought Toyos and say, oh no, we need some Continentals, They'll sell you some where you can mount some up. Or if you didn't buy those rain tires and you decide you want those, they've got those there too. So it's just nice to have tire service there during the race. Driver's Eye Live. I think that's the live stream that Chrissy was talking about. I think
that is correct. Yep. They had the little logo at the top. Yep.
And they're going to have Dino on the go. So if you didn't get your car dinoed or they think you're full of it.
Cheater.
Yep. They're going to give it a try. So you have all those things right there on site. That was interesting.
Indeed it does.
So yeah, I'm really looking forward to see how you like it, Metzl, and how it compares to what you're used to, how it is, when you're going to be on track in a, even though it's a pretty heavily modified E36, how that compares to some of the slower Miatas and also the little mini prototype things that are ridiculous.
The NPO ones, yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. So how does that all play together? Nice. Are they really running good, clean, contact-free, non-douchebaggy racing or not? Things like that. Yeah. Just to hear how you like Mid-Ohio after so long away.
Yeah. And just because we know Lemons doesn't run there, we're not going to do our full up turn by turn, but I will throw this up there. So there is your map of Mid-Ohio. It is right now listed as 13, and I am drawing a square, and we'll have a link to this track map. Turn one, high speed, then you go up. I think they'll actually be running the keyhole, which is a bus stop right before you come into turn two. And then the high speed, the rolling start line, all of this, if you've watched, because they do run IndyCar there, they run IMSA, all of these, you go screaming all the way down there. And I have found the top speed of an NC Miata on that straightaway. Betty scared the crap out of me a few times with what she was capable of on that long straightaway. It's like the back half of Road Atlanta. Turn four goes down and then back up into turn five is what they call that one, madness. And then you get into the S's. Turn nine actually is an over and down into... so it's you actually, to do it properly, you just accept a loss of traction as you crest that hill coming out of there into 10, 12, and 13, which sets you up for an entry into the pits. And it is a, like we've talked about this before, Mid-Ohio has the feel of an old track.
3 miles-ish, I think.
3 miles-ish, okay.
Yeah. It feels like VIR, but uniquely its own. It feels like Road Atlanta. It feels like Daytona. These places that just have this, was not designed on computer, kind of just way about them. It's it is a fun place.
Started as a dirt road and then somebody added some gravel and.
Yeah. People, tearing through there. We'll figure it out. Go ahead. In the 60s when they were just trying to build race courses because they quit racing in towns, this is one of the places that endured after that. So
people rave on this track. I'm really interested to see if you think, especially since you've driven in most of the tracks in the United States, how you really feel when you get there again. I mean,
I've always enjoyed it. It's
fun in iRacing.
It is. And it's real life, but like we talked about Laguna, you can enjoy it right away and then you could spend the next 10 years trying to get the nuances of two or three of the corners that are at Laguna and, same thing with Road Atlanta and all of these kinds of tracks.
Cool.
Yeah. But haven't done it since the repave and I have traveled a little bit. So yeah, maybe I hate it, but I doubt it. It's not like it's English Town.
Oh.
There's other things to hate, and sure this isn't one of them.
Cool, great. So Chrissy, do you have a safety topic course this week?
I do, unless somebody else has something that they'd rather share.
So that means it's time for
just the
tip. All right. So as we've reviewed, I have a safety topic for the week at work because I write the safety topics. And this one is a rationalizing unsafe safety choices, unsafe choices. And it's funny how I feel like there's a human element, and maybe it's just me, about choosing some. Well, I guess if it's me, there's often times where I'm thinking about what other people are looking at me because I'm the safety person at work and people are expecting certain things of me. But I think there's plenty of things where you're just thinking like, well, I could probably get hurt about this, but what do you do about it? And how do you just rationalize it? And then of course, everything includes risk. There's a risk in everything that we do. But how do you rationalize what you are going to choose to do in a certain situation? That how much risk are you willing to take? And some people that don't know our racing, I would say, probably think that we are more of a risk taker because of that. And then I try to convince people that it's safer than driving on most highways because of many reasons of not being distracted and what have you. The funny part of this story is that it is we were having this topic of this week, and my maintenance crew were moving some desks, and there was a they had a dolly out, and we had to wheel the dolly back to the maintenance cage. And I joked, and I was like, can I ride on that? And then my one maintenance guy was like, aren't we talking about rationalizing unsafe choices this week? And I was like, touche. So I wasn't actually going to ride on the dolly. I just thought it was funny because we had to wheel an empty dolly back. And this one was one of them that you move like filing cabinet. So it had a seatbelt on it, right? Like, so when you, like,
so you could totally Hannibal Lecter that.
I know. And then I was like, my maintenance supervisor is moving it. And he was like, well, at least it has a seatbelt. And I was like, I'm tempted to do this. I didn't, and that's fine, but we did have a good laugh. So I dare you to think about your own safety choices and thinking about not only is what are people watching you. And I probably want to say that we don't have children, but there are probably plenty of parents that are thinking about doing something, and then you say, well, there's people watching me. It might be a small child that's going to be learning from me, so maybe I should not choose the most dangerous option, or at least if it is visually not safe, looks like it's not going to be a safe option, where we should choose something differently. So I challenge you to think about it in your daily life, and think about if you make some if you rationalize unsafe choices, let us know, because I'm interested to hear what your normalized unsafe choices are.
That's an excellent topic. Yeah,
thanks.
That's a big thing in aviation,
I'm sure it is, and mm-hmm. manufacturing. If people listen to what I say.
I'm sure. They just heard, well, I could ride the forklift or the dolly and be Hannibal Lecter.
I mean,
that's earlier. That'd be cool.
It's a great idea. But it was very topical when somebody pointed out that was the week's. That means they were listening, which makes me happy too.
If they're calling you out, then
no, it's. I was happy to hear it. That was great.
Yeah, your work is done. You're.
I mean, it's not reaching them. There's always tomorrow and somebody could get hurt. So let's not do that. But at least nobody should be riding on dollies. That like breaks so many rules. Like a horse play is one of our rules. And I'm like, this just is.
How often do you have horses to play with?
Not in my manufacturing plant that cares about FOD.
Where'd this horse come from?
Who cares? Woohoo! It's party time with the horse.
Oh goodness.
Yep. Anyway,
let's talk about next week.
Yeah, do we know what we're doing next week?
Did I talk you into it?
I don't. It depends on the schedule. Maybe we'll upload it.
We're gonna try for it. How about that? Even if it's short, we'll try for it.
All right. Watch our socials, because we're all gonna be in the same zip code. In fact, we're all gonna be at the same address. And what that means is not only are we doing our patently powerful, sponsored by Pemani's Pit Race preview, we are going to be doing it live from the CNC Mayhem Factory. So you can click on the YouTube link and you can comment and mock us while we're doing it.
We'll see. We'll see.
Depends on how well everything's coming together at that point.
Yes.
And like,
yes.
Car's still in the trailer. I don't even know.
And
how it runs.
I haven't even started packing the pit yet. So we have some work to do. Okay. But. Anyway. We're going to be talking the pre-race for Pit. Can you please sign up for the potluck, especially if you are, first of all, if you're going to be around. Second of all, if you're going to eat there, please bring something. If you can let me know that you're going to bring something.
The potluck, not a catered meal. Remember?
Yes, correct. That's awesome. So it makes me feel better if I know what that food might be brought.
And what night is the potluck on? Because this
Saturday.
One's a little different. Is it Saturday? Okay.
It's usually Saturday.
It's usually all Saturday. Right. I only switch it up.
I thought I got an email from Nick today that said Friday night.
Saturday.
Okay, Saturday. Saturday.
Yes, it's on Saturday. It's usually on Saturday unless the track day is very long and then I have to convince people to change it. So, and then please bring food, not desserts. This last race at Pitt was awesome, but we had two solid 6-foot tables of desserts only. We had like a couple salads and that's it. So it's fine, except for you eat the couple salads that I brought and then you are eating pie. So, and not everybody's cool with that. Just bring some food, please. Please. Thank you.
All I want is pie and salad.
Well, people took home 4 to 6 Costco pies last time. So they took them home. Not even like they just were like, well, if you're not going to eat these, I'm going to take these 6 pies and like, fine. But
yeah, pretty much. So 40% salad, 80% pie.
That's exactly what happened. Thank you. Come to the potluck, please.
Yep.
Okay.
Hey, well, thanks for downloading us. Hope you enjoyed this week's edition of Everyone Racers. Hope you can join us in the world of driving, building, racing, and baking pies because everyone can bring food to a potluck, even you. If you enjoyed this podcast, subscribe. It's totally free. Go to iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts and give us that 5-star rating. Don't care what you thought, 5 stars, and tell us why. Questions, thoughts, show ideas, comments, looking for a friend, whatever. You can find us on any of the various social media places as Everyone Racers or everyone.racers@gmail.com or text mental pictures of your junk at 484-243-0455, especially in the middle of the night. Junk pictures are always the best. So thanks again, everyone. Until next week, keep the shiny side up. Unless you're going to Mid-Ohio and you're just looking at the new pavement, then especially keep the wheels down.